That's what I say to Josh and June. Wow. I say it in my lowest voice possible. Wow.
Oh, yeah, that's low.
I'm sitting really far away from the mic, number one. Number one, I'm sitting so far away, I don't know if you can hear me. So tell me if you can hear me.
People can definitely hear you.
Can they hear you?
Yes.
When I said wow, when I started off and I did my wow that I do for June, she did a head tilt. Did you notice?
Well, I know, because we're in a very, we're in a quiet house and all of a sudden you're wowing.
Yeah, yeah. Those wows are trademark wows for reserved solely for J&J.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to start off with those wows. But the reason I started off with those wows, there's a lot of apologizing to be done here, Sammo.
From me?
From both of us.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. How do we even start? Let's see. How do we even start? Back up.
You go to a party and someone says, what do you do for a job?
Oh, we did that part already.
Yep.
So now we do the part where we say, we're so sorry for disappearing for 100 million years on you. We have good reasons.
What have you been up to?
Well, I will say we are recording this in a weird place, in a place that we don't normally record it, in my mother's house. Mother knows best.
Mother.
Two mother song references in one, and I don't know, 20 seconds.
Yeah, one Disney one, one Misfits one.
That's great. Yeah. Danzig, isn't it?
Yes. So yes, we have in fact recorded many episodes from the villages before.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So to full disclosure, we are in Florida. We are away from home. We are traveling. We're in Florida. We're at my mother's house in the villages, Florida. Hence the reason. Okay. So how do I even start? Hence the reason that we've missed a million weeks of episodes because we have been kind of crazy nonstop go for many weeks now. But yes, normally we're recording from the old little podcasting loft room in New Hampshire. And now we just have this mic that we're sharing on a kitchen table in my mom's house. And the only reason it's so quiet, by the way, is because my mom went on a little mini vacation from here to the Florida Keys.
Hey, your mom's quiet.
Because if my mom was here right now, there's no way we could be recording this because like myself, my mother has a lot to say all the time.
Yep, a lot of words coming out.
Yep. Well, that's where I get it, Sam, don't you know?
Some of them mean things, others are words.
No, listen, God love her. But seriously, now that you see like how I was raised and how like my household is, does it explain anything?
Oh, listen, this is not news to me.
Yeah.
I know every...
A lot of talking.
I know everything about how every one of your family members work. I know, much like our dogs, I know most of the things they're going to do before they know they're going to do them.
Yeah. Oh, God love her. She's special. She's so special. And Mom, if you're listening, shout out. I love you. Thanks for letting us stay with you in your beautiful home. And how lovely of you to take a small vacation so we could record.
Heck yeah.
Woohoo!
Yeah, they took a vacation.
Specifically.
From us while we're here.
Well, no, but truly, they did take a vacation because they have two dogs that are like seniors, so they're like relatively high maintenance and that they have a lot of needs and they need baths every day and all the things.
Yeah,
so
how old is Lily now?
I think Lily is like 19.
Like
I'm not actually making that up.
Do you think we can get her on the podcast?
Yeah, let's see. Let's see, hold on. Lily, excuse me.
Yeah. Yes.
How would you like to be on a dog photography podcast?
Come closer.
How many times, Lily, have I taken your photo in 19 years?
Closer.
Be nice.
Who said that?
Be nice.
Any treat could be my last.
Oh, my God, Sam. Stop. Oh, we love her. No. We don't wish anything on her. She's so special. She's an old gal now, and she, poor babe, she pees herself every night. Mm-hmm. So we have to bathe her. Now, our, like, one job while Mom's away is to make sure that Lily gets her bath every day because otherwise she is covered in pee. It's really sad.
Lily, you gotta last at least 3 more days.
No, Sam, don't. It's not a joke. She's very special.
She's a good
kid.
She's
been around like my entire lifetime.
Pretty much. It's pretty unbelievable.
But anyway, so let's see. Let me try to make this. Well, I can't make it quick. That's the whole point of today's episode. But I I can say we have been in Florida for I don't know how many weeks now. We drove down from our house in New Hampshire, so that's like a solid 24-hour drive. The drive was great and uneventful. I think we meant to record a podcast at some point on the drive, and then I don't know what happened, but it is a little difficult to record while you're driving.
She said blamingly.
Well, no, not blamingly. I mean, that's a good, what's blamingly? Is that an adverb?
It would be an adverb.
Okay.
If it was a real word.
That's nice. You did a nice job with that, actually.
Thank you.
I like that. But then when we got down here, let's just take a quick moment to say shout out to Doug and Emily. Doug and Emily are best friends in the whole world. Also, Emily being my cousin, they had their wedding in Disney World. And that was why we came. We were going to come down here a little bit later in the month of January, but we came early, obviously, because of the wedding. And we were both in it, so that was pretty important that we'd be there. Also, we were like somewhat kind of shooting it. And Sam was the best man.
I was.
And so Doug and Emily's wedding was at the Grand Floridian. I don't know if all y'all have ever been. I never say y'all, but there it is. In honor of Doug, since Doug says y'all.
Because he's from the deep south.
Right, exactly. He's from
southern New
Windham,
Hampshire.
New Hampshire. Yeah. But anyway, he picked it up though when he lived down here for a long time. But anyway, so Doug and Emily got married at the Grand Floridian, which is one of Disney World's finest resorts. It is beautiful. And it is a Mary Poppins theme resort, which is amazing because that is Emily's ultimate favorite Disney movie of all time. She's totally obsessed with Mary Poppins. Ever since she was a little tiny wee one, I would remember her like in her little like 2-year-old little like blonde curly head, bright blue eyeball, sitting there in front of the TV just staring lovingly at Mary Poppins for hours on end. So it was kind of the perfect place for them to get married. It was so special. And it was a very early wedding, and all us gals, I was in the wedding party, and we had to start getting ready at 3:00 in the morning. Woohoo! Because the ceremony was at 9 a.m. And then, of course, they had like the first look they wanted to do beforehand and like all the bridal party photos beforehand and all that. So 9 a.m., not my style, but certainly theirs because they're morning people. And it was really frigging beautiful and magical.
It was great. And again, for those of you that maybe don't know, Doug and Emmy did guest on... Oh, Chris Miller time.
Woo!
They did guest on one episode of Adventures in Dog Photography. And something tells me they will be guesting on future episodes. So
definitely. Also, if you were at Shutterhound, you would recognize Emily from being behind the front desk up at the Shutterhound, I don't know what you call it, info booth?
Yep.
Registration.
Guest services.
Registration. And Doug was filming the event. He was running around with a camera the whole time. So anyway, massive congratulations to them. It was a frigging beautiful day. I don't know why I keep saying frigging like I'm like, you know, 12 trying not to swear.
Yep.
Friggin' A! Freaking beautiful! Just freaking beautiful!
Yep, we're gonna have to mark this one explicit.
Honestly, I don't know what's happening to me, Sam. It's been a while since we recorded.
Yeah,
I lost my mojo, I lost my sparkle, I lost my greasy wheels.
Yep, I can tell because you're leaning into the microphone when you get louder.
Do I need to? No, I need to lean in?
You would preferably never do that.
Oh, okay. So you want me to sit back fully?
Yeah.
Because I feel like I'm far away back here.
Because when you get louder, you don't also have to lean into the mic at the same time.
Oh, it feels right.
It's going to feel terrible to anyone listening to this. I'm going to have to compress the shit out of this podcast.
Okay, sorry. So, in our
wisdom, we also scheduled a workshop approximately 36 hours after the wedding ended.
Truly, like, it was so much sooner after the wedding than I remember scheduling it. Because mm-hmm. It was like, okay, so the Doug and Emmy's wedding was, that, like we said, 9 a.m. ceremony, and then it moved into, you know, like a brunch reception type of thing. But then, it was really cool and special, because then you kind of had this, like, huge chunk of time in the middle of the day after the reception, because then later that night, at like about 8 p.m., they had a dessert party, which was like a private fireworks viewing. So you could see the Magic Kingdom fireworks from the Grand Floridian. So they had this little special terrace that was all like cordoned off for them. And they had a dessert party. But that kept us, you know what I mean? Like going from basically 3 a.m. to about, I don't know, 11 p.m. that night, right? Mm-hmm.
Yep, it's a long day.
It's a long day. So then the next day, of course, like all our friends and family are in town. Like, you know, my dad was there and my sister and like some of my like best friends in the whole world. You know, my cousins were all there together in Disney. So, of course, you want to make the most of that. So then the next day after, we're like with friends and family and we're running around to different Disney resorts to do like to eat cool food and do all kinds of fun stuff. And then we're like, after that day, we're like, oops, tomorrow starts the workshop. We forgot to schedule more time in between these two things.
Yeah, so today, other than recapping Doug and Emmy's wedding, we'll be recapping our time on Anna Maria Island in Florida, hosting our, it's our third Hound Vision workshop, and it's probably our, our 9th or 10th workshop overall.
Yeah.
Then if you count the different groups of people that come to each workshop, there's usually two groups per workshop.
Right.
So maybe it's like our 20th.
Yeah, who knows?
Or 21st workshop, something like that.
I don't know. You're right. Something like that.
We've done a few of these things, but they're always amazing. They're always unique and special.
And like you come away feeling like such magic, like fairy dust was sprinkled all over everything in your life. And I'm not just saying that, like I'm not like selling it. I'm saying it because it's totally true. I feel so inspired after these things. And I, you know, I'm as the like, I don't know, what do you want to say? Teacher? Instructor? I'm not sure what you would call me.
You would be an instructor.
Like
the one doing the instructing.
I feel like I get so much, just as much out of it. Like I realize that people come to these things to learn from us and our lovely, amazing, incredible friend and colleague, Nicole Begley, who we run them with from Hair of the Dog Academy. But I swear, like I feel like I'm cheating sometimes because I get so much out of it too on a personal and creative level. It's really beautiful, and you just get to meet so many awesome people and make these connections and friendships, and it's really pretty special. So we thought, because we've been gone for so long, we just kind of wanted to use this episode here to update you on where the heck we've been and what, you know, kind of what we've been up to. So, you know, the wedding was a really big, important part of our lives because there's no two people on earth maybe more special to us than Doug and Emily, so that was a pretty big deal. And then, you know, moving right into Hound Vision, which, you know, professionally for Dog Breath was also a really big deal and really special. So we thought, oh, cool. We'll recap, you know, Hound Vision and kind of what went on there, as well as talk about a photo that we took while we were out at Hound Vision. We had Joshua and Junie with us, which was so cool.
This was the first time they've been to a workshop like that.
Yeah, right. Like, so if you went to Shutterhound, the dog photography conference that we put on in Las Vegas in September, Joshua and Junie were there for that. But that was a little bit different because they were mostly in the hotel room. They were in the hotel room like 95% of the time, but Junie got to be at her special party, her poolside party. And Joshua got to come out one night very quickly for an award that we were giving. They were there with us, kind of, though, in a way. And, well, I mean, they were there, but we had someone else helping us take care of them and everything. But at the workshops, we've done so many, like Sam mentioned, all over the world now. And we've never, you know, had, like, house dogs before. We have had a couple people come with their service dogs. So if, like, attendees would come and bring their service dogs, which is amazing, because then you have a dog in the house that you can squish and take a picture of when you want to. But even though you're not supposed to squish the service dogs, but when they're off duty, sometimes you can. Hold on. We have one dog at our feet who is currently throwing up. You doing all right, buddy?
Patches is not throwing up.
You throwing up?
He is reverse sneezing.
You doing okay?
This is just...
Oh.
This is part of his gimmick.
Oh.
Yeah. You okay?
You okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Patches,
do you needed something?
Patches, uh-oh. Kaylee's mom's other dog. He is, what, an 11-year-old Papillon?
Something like 11. Yeah, he's a Papillon.
Yeah. We have cut him down and count the rings to be sure. But
yes. Do you need something while you tell... Oh.
He doesn't need anything.
You sure he doesn't need a pee?
He doesn't need
shit. Can you go pee-pee? Pee-pee? I think he needs a pee-pee. Hold on the fort.
Okay.
Hold on the fort, Sam. I'm taking a pee-pee.
Wow.
Very convenient.
Unprecedented.
Woo! There's a screen here.
Yep, and Kaylee walked into the screen door.
Come on.
And then Patches isn't going to go out because he doesn't have to go pee-pee. He's just interested in interrupting the podcast.
Go ahead. Do you want to go pee-pee? See, he's going. I told you he had to go.
Yeah. You want to come back in and podcast? Nope, she's going too. It's possible Kaylee is peeing outside with Patches. I can neither confirm nor deny that. Anyways, let's get started talking about Hound Vision. So Hound Vision is specifically, it's myself, Kaylee, and Nicole Begley, who has just launched her Freedom Focus Formula business and podcasts and everything like that. But it's different than the Barca retreats, which some people are familiar with as well, because that's also taught with Craig Turner Bullock and Charlotte Reeves. Craig is a guest instructor, but Charlotte, Kaylee, and Nicole started those a long time ago. And we started Hound Vision almost out of necessity during kind of lockdown COVID-y times when it was a bit harder for international travel.
You can fill a veritable pool with the amount of pee this dog just peed.
That's fantastic.
Okay. Just saying. This came back.
So while it was difficult to import Charlotte Reeves from her native country of Australia, we started to do these Hound Vision workshops, and it's been really great to do those domestically, the three of us. And this one was, again, on Anna Maria Island, which we've talked about before in our episode about the Southeastern Guide Dogs. It's one of our favorite and most beautiful parts of Florida.
It is so beautiful. The sand is white, 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 white. It is the whitest, most beautiful sand, and we had a beach house, like beachfront house, called the Tiki House, and I have never lived in such luxury. Actually, that's a lie. All of our workshop houses have been insanely amazing, and you look at them and you're like, oh, this is how the other side lives. Wild. Good to know that this could be a reality for somebody. But this house was really special, and we were like directly beachfront, so you could walk just from the front yard, just, I don't know, maybe 50 steps to like the water. It was so magical. The only thing that's a real pooper about it is that this beach is so nice and so beautiful that they do not allow dogs, which I know, super lame. It would be more beautiful if they did allow dogs, but unfortunately, there's sometimes a couple bad eggs that ruin it for everyone, you know what I mean? And they don't pick up their dog's poop or whatever, and it becomes a problem. So they're not allowed. So Joshua loved the beach, and he kept trying to run up to the water, but he'd have to stop at a certain point, like when the house's property stopped, and we'd have to turn him around. And if you know anything about Joshua, turning around is his least favorite thing in the whole world.
Yep. Always forward, never backward.
Exactly right.
but it was great having them there. You know, we drove down with the dogs and you know, they kind of hung out during the workshop. But, you know, in between classes or whatever, I would take them outside. And just getting to see Joshua, like, prance through the sand was so beautiful.
It really was. His little 12-year-old bum.
Yeah, he's
wiggling and waggling.
He's almost 12 and a half now.
Yeah.
And yeah, when he tries to run towards the beach, I mean, it's not very fast.
No, it's so cute.
I can very easily catch up to him and turn him around.
yeah.
Which is great. But both of those dogs loved the sand. We don't have anything up, you know, in New Hampshire that's like that. All of our beaches are rocky.
Yeah, kind of. There's a few sandy-ish ones like Hampton Beach or whatever, but they're not really dog-friendly. And
right.
There are some up there, but I don't know. We don't take him to the beach a lot. We're not like, honestly, like big beach people.
You're not a big beach person.
Oh, are you? Are you? Am I learning something about you?
Well, I like the ocean a lot, but you famously prefer lakes.
Yeah, I don't like sitting and doing nothing. I have a hard time with that type of thing. Like, so people who want to go to the beach usually want to sit in a chair or whatever with an umbrella.
Right.
And I don't want to do that.
No, I don't want to do that either. I just want to live by the beach.
Okay, that's fair. You did. You grew up like on the beach.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
And I like that.
Bless you.
Just the smell of the salty air and the stinky low tide.
Sometimes, yeah, exactly. That's what I mean, stinky low tide. But Anna Maria didn't have a stinky low tide.
No, because I don't know. I feel like those more tropical type beaches don't get that as much as,
it's like,
you know, those New England rocky beaches.
Yeah. Patches, hi, sweetheart.
You just want to pick him up because it's being very distracting.
You're
Patches.
Being so distracting, and you're so very cute. We gave him a bath today for the first time in his life. No, my mom would disagree. He probably gets baths all the time, but he did need a bath, so we put him in the sink. And that's what's nice about having a small dog right in the sink with you.
Yep.
And now he's kissing Sam inside the lips, and the problem with that is his heinous dog breath.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, you gotta love him. Sam took him on a special walk today, too, which was nice for him, because he's kind of a little shit, and so he needs to be, like, the only dog on the walk so that you can really pay attention to him so he doesn't cause shenanigans.
Right. But he does really good with some training, which is...
Yeah.
Which is something that he's never really had before. So we would... Every time a person would go by and he didn't bark at them, I would tell him a good boy. And I would give him a tiny, tiny treat. And then every time that we had to cross the street, we would stop and wait, and then we'd run across at the right time, and when we got to the other side, he would stop by me, and I would give him a treat.
Aww.
And every time I would tell him to come to me, and he did, then he got another treat.
Nice young man.
So he did very good listening today.
Hey, I should take your picture so we can put it up on the Instagram.
Wow.
The long abandoned Instagram. Hold on. Patchy, what's that? Oh my God, what's that? Gotta get a special treat. I can't say that with Junior on.
I know.
Okay, so that part, that portion of the podcast, of the picture taking portion, is concluded. I got it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not the stories about pictures, just the iPhone photo I snapped of you.
Fantastic.
So that's passed. So speaking of the beach.
Yeah, and pictures.
And pictures. So we had, so Hound Vision, this was our third installment of the specific Hound Vision series of workshops that we do. Sam probably mentioned that. I don't know if you said the first one was in Breckenridge, Colorado,
mm-hmm.
and the second one was in Lake Tahoe, California.
Yep.
And then the third one was on Anna Maria Island in Florida, which offered a very different set of like locations to shoot in, which is so interesting because the other, you know, locations were like pretty mountainy, kind of like rugged sort of locations, you know what I mean? And this was definitely more like tropical, beachy locations, which was really fun and offered such a different look. In fact, for this episode, I know we're going to specifically be talking about a photo of Junie that I took of her out at the workshop house, but I want to show also the photos of, let's touch on the photos of like Taxi and Nim and Darwin.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the other, like, just photos from the workshop. How about that?
How about it?
So, how about that? So we can do, like, kind of them all. We'll focus on the Junie one.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go to Instagram at Adventures in Dog Photography.
You're going to be like, Instagram.com/user/adventures.
I did not. And I was not going to. So don't make assumptions. You know what they say about assumptions? Go ahead.
We make an ass out of
you and me.
Yep.
I don't actually know why. Oh, assume. Assume. Oh!
Oh my God, she wasn't joking. She,
I just got that.
Oh no.
Oh, assume.
Oh no.
Oh.
That's terrible.
But you think of the word assumption, there's a lot more letters in it. So I never like made the connection.
Well yeah, because the phrase is, you know, what you get when you assume.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Right?
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Well, oh, I learned something. I learned something today.
Well, I'm not cutting that out.
It's fine. It's fine. Don't edit. Go in raw. Go in raw, baby.
Are we not doing phrasing anymore?
You're right. Okay. All right. So anyway, let's get back on track. Sam's knocking us off track all the time.
Oh,
I
yeah.
See.
Yeah. That's my role on this podcast.
So, okay. Hound Vision. So we have two different, quote unquote, weeks of Hound Vision.
What happened? What were we talking about with Hound Vision?
You
were just about to describe the photo on the Instagram.
Oh, I was?
Yes.
This photo is of a three-legged pit bull. Caramel colored, beautiful eyes that you can't see because she's wearing a pair of sunglasses, pink tinted sunglasses, while sitting on a pink beach chair midday with a big giant sun coming in from the background and a bluebird blue sky. Is that it?
Yep.
I mean, do you think I did nice? Did you want to look at it?
No, you did so nice.
Thank you.
Yeah. So that's Junie.
So that's Junie. So a picture of Junie. There's these beach chairs at the workshop house and they were like pastel colored and they were those Adirondack style chairs. And there was, I don't know, what were there, like a 12 of them all in a row?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like, you know, when you see a postcard of a tropical island and there's like four chairs like sitting facing it away with no one in them that you're meant to like envision yourself in or whatever. It was kind of like that, but they were a ton of them. There were like 12 of them. And I kept seeing them all week and I'm like, I got to do something with these. Like originally I wanted to do something with like the pattern of the chairs all the way down and then like put one dog in one chair and then maybe a second dog and another one further down or something. I had some ideas and I was kind of messing with it all week and I couldn't really find anything with the chair pattern, but I ended up just using one single pink beach chair and some pink sunglasses on Junie just to kind of make this, I don't know, really tropical, colorful feeling sort of photo in January, which is remarkable because I look at the Nest Cam on our house back in New Hampshire and there's like, I don't know, a foot and a half of snow at all times in the driveway.
I tuned out somewhere in the middle of that.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Great.
you didn't take a breath.
Well, I mean, I'm known for that. I'm famous for it.
Yeah. Which one of the lunatics that came to our workshop listens to this at two speed?
Oh my God, Jennifer. Shout out Jennifer from Crystal Coast Dog. Crystal Coast Dog Only. I learned it's dog only. It's not dog photography because she does like a lot of other dog stuff. Like she sells mm-hmm. dog apparel and it's like a dog lifestyle brand for her area where she lives in North Carolina. I think it's North Carolina.
That sounds
right. Yeah. Yeah.
You should do the rest of the podcast really extra slow.
So that when she plays it at 2x speed, it will be normal.
Yep. Yep, that sounds awful.
Yeah, thank you so much. Anyway, Sam, what am I saying now? Okay, Junie's photo is going to be the main photo that we talk about. You're going to see it on the Adventures in Dog Photography Instagram. Mm-hmm. We forgot to make a website. We always said that we would. I always said that we would. We never did. Additionally, I'll talk about a few of the other photos that we took throughout the course of the workshop. Just to kind of like, it's fun. We took so many photos. We met so many amazing dogs and we took so many cool photos. So I'll show you a number of them and we can kind of glaze over those, but it'll just be fun to like throw them up in a carousel or whatever.
Yeah.
About like Hound Vision recap, whatever. Cool. Work for you, Sammo?
Yes. And that's my favorite part about these workshops is, you know, we've got 3 days, you know, and then two workshops. So Kaylee and I have 6 days and we get to see what other people shoot at these locations.
Yeah,
you know,
cool.
we hook them up with the locations and the dogs. And we don't do that thing that some workshops do where they like set up a shot for you and just be like, here is exactly the settings. Now everyone take the same photo.
Yeah. I don't know. How do you learn if you don't get to like make some choices and decisions? And I try to do a healthy dose of like, here's what I would do so you can see what I would do if I was on a shoot by myself with a client. But also like, let's do your idea now and let's explore that together and how that would, you know, how we would approach that like technically and systematically approach it or whatever.
Right. So that's my favorite thing is like, you know, the day after our shoot, we'll, you know, get together in the house with all the students and we'll do an image recap, like a review, and everyone will share one or two images that they got from the shoot the night before. And it's very cool to see people's different perspectives, their different creative ideas. And I always have everyone give me like a big win and a big challenge from the night before. So everyone can kind of learn based on that. And it's very cool to flip to the next photo on, you know, on the big screen in front of everyone and see everyone's reaction. So, and for myself as well, like I'm really, really, really comfortable working with dogs, but I don't photograph a ton of them.
Well, yeah, I suppose that's true. Like you are with me at all times, but you're not often the one behind the camera.
Right.
And pretty much never. Behind the camera at this point. I mean, you are for your people stuff and like your own stuff, but not the dog breath stuff.
Not a dog breath stuff. So like I'm very comfortable working a camera. That's no problem. But like the actual act of me getting down on the ground and putting my eye up to the viewfinder and clicking the shutter button to photograph a dog is not something that happens very often. So it's a challenge for me as well. And so if I can get something that like I'm impressed with out of myself, then I mean that's another cool win for me too.
Yeah, and you did the thing. Okay, so I famously get really bad migraines from shooting dog imagery because before I had the flippy screen on my R3, my Canon R3, I had the Canon 1DX Mark III, and that does not have a flippy screen. It just has the like, you know, the LCD that's like embedded in the back of the body, basically. So in order to, you know, see through the viewfinder at any given time, you have to put your eye physically up to it. And so if I was like doing action shots or something and I'm laying on my stomach on the ground and I'd have to look up through the viewfinder to see if I'm framing something correctly, I'd have to like do this thing where I like roll my eye really like far up to try to look up through the viewfinder from that angle, and it like gives me a migraine every time, and even to the point where I like throw up sometimes on the way home from photo shoots, and you're like, all right, here's the bucket, like you're ready for me to throw up because you know it's gonna happen. And this time you had the 1DX, I had the R3, and you got a migraine.
Yeah, it rocked me.
Yeah.
If anything's going to sell someone on like upgrading to a mirrorless camera, it's going to be the fact that like, hey, if you need to shoot from ground level, first of all, you don't need to put your face to it. There's a shot that I took, which I shared previously on the Instagram. It's the post before this episode of a pit bull in like an alleyway with a big neon sign behind it.
Yeah.
And I took that basically from ground level, but I was like, well, do I want to put my face in the dirty downtown St. Pete cobblestone alleyway water?
Probably pee-pee water.
Probably pee-pee water. Or or do I want to like put the camera low and basically shoot blind?
Yeah.
So that's what I chose to do. But yeah, there was one day where I laid down and I rolled my eye up and it rocked me for like 6 hours.
Yeah, it's crazy, right? It's a weird, like, I don't know, anatomical, like, anomaly thing that, like, screws your brain up a little.
It's no good.
It scrambles my brain.
Yeah. So if you're out there and you're shooting, you still haven't upgraded to a mirrorless camera, and that's a problem that you deal with on the day-to-day, good God, just upgrade.
Yeah, I mean, I know. Easier said than done, though, sometimes, right? Because, like, they're pricey and whatever. I mean, I'm not saying that they are. I'm not trying to be, like, Debbie Downer. I'm just trying to be like, oh, hey, I realize that not everybody has the same resources, and that's okay. Even if you have one that doesn't have a flippy out screen, I will tell you, I've photographed without a flippy out screen for the past 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
And this 13th year is when I just got the mirrorless now, so.
Just stop buying avocado toast every day and you can afford that camera.
That's probably true. We got avocado toast the other day at First Watch, and it was like $10 for avocado toast. Maybe 12.
Maybe even 12. Oh my goodness. Do you know what they get for avocado toast?
Do you know that we have been, okay, caveat, do you know that we have been to the movies 3 days in a row via golf cart?
Is that a caveat?
Yeah, I think so. Doesn't that mean like you're going off the rails, like off to the side? Caveat.
No, it usually means that there's like an additional like circumstance to something you're about to say.
Really?
Yeah. You're just like, I love Disney with the caveat of,
oh, really?
If it's too busy, I don't like, something like that.
Okay, noun, caveat, noun, a warning or caution, admonition, law, a legal notice to a court. Really? Legal notice? Hold on. I'm going to get a new one. I don't like that one.
You're learning a lot today.
A warning enjoining one from certain acts or practices. An explanation to prevent misinterpretation. A modifying or cautionary detail to be considered when evaluating, interpreting, or doing something.
That one.
You're right. You are right. Damn. All right, fine. One for you.
Yep. One just for end me. The podcast
One for
there.
You, and but one for
well,
me.
Well, guys, smell you later.
One for you and one for me. And the one for me is because I'm cute.
Uh-huh. All right.
And that's it.
Yep. Are we talking about how...
And that's the start of something big, kid.
What's happening?
Oh, I put on my 20s voice. Yeah. My 20s.
You're really working on some different voices.
Muppets.
Yep. Well, that's it.
What 3 movies did we see in a row?
Oh, you're talking about the movies of
the villages. Yes, that's what I was talking about.
Okay.
We went to 3 movies in a row. That's how we relax.
So we're skipping right over Houndvision. We're
No, I said caveat. Oh, I mean like sidebar.
Sidebar.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure. Sidebar. Yes. We just saw 3 movies in a row. We saw The Boys in the Boat.
Yep.
Your favorite genre of historical boat movies.
I said that walking into the theater. I said, Sam, I'm so excited. I said, I'm so excited. You know I love a historical boat movie. And you looked at me. You kind of tilted your head. And I was like, no, you're right. I actually don't like a historical boat movie
Except
at all.
Except for Titanic.
Well, yeah, I like that. And I like The Boys in the Boat. And we saw...
And you like U-571?
U-571? What's that?
It's another historical boat movie.
Oh, Master and Commander Far Side of the Ocean.
Yep.
Hated that movie.
Yep.
Whoa.
Well, Pirates of the Caribbean.
That one's all right. Is it historical, though? I don't believe it's fact.
It's definitely fact.
I believe it's fiction. And then we saw... What else?
We saw Scrambled.
Yes, about a woman freezing her eggs, which was lovely.
Yep, that's what you see when there's nothing else to see in the movie theater.
Truly, but it was good. It was pretty good.
It was pretty good.
It was funny.
And then we saw Wonka.
Wonka, which was lovely. I really liked it.
Yes.
There were some good scenes that I really had to like feel like I wanted to pause to really look at the composition because they were so inspiring and amazing. I say this a lot. I say it at Houndvision. I say it at when I give my talks about like finding inspiration in photography, and I think I've said it on the podcast before. You got to look at like other places outside of the photography world, especially outside of the dog photography world. And one of those places for me is cinema, is what's being created in, you know, Hollywood. Well, all over the world, really. But I think some of the greatest artists who have ever like lived and worked and created are in Hollywood creating, you know, moving pictures. And so there's a lot of inspiration to be had. And Wonka was so inspiring. It was beautiful. Cinematographically beautiful. Cinematically beautiful. Mm-hmm. What's the word I'm looking for?
Cinematically works.
Is Patches okay?
Yeah, he's got the groomies right now.
He's got the groomies and he's panting heavily because you've got him excited over there.
It's because I'm holding him and I'm not letting him just lick me furiously.
Well, you can try and put him down and see what happens.
Well, yeah, he's just barking. He's being very distracting.
Mr. Big Distract.
This podcast is off the rails.
It is. Now take it back, Sam. Take it back.
Take it back. Okay, Kaylee, Houndvision.
Okay.
The workshop.
Yes.
Tell me your 5 favorite things from it.
5 favorite things.
Yep.
Number 1. Dogs.
Dogs. Okay, let's talk about the dogs because we had some absolutely bananas people come out to answer our model roll call. Now, normally, if we're doing a workshop in, say, Anna Maria Island, Florida, you would expect the majority of the models to come from Florida. However, I want to say probably 50% of our models came from Massachusetts.
Yes, weird, wild, and amazing. Whoa, so amazing. So I posted up the model call on my private Facebook page before I wanted to post it to the public. I didn't really want to post it out to the public because, full disclosure, we have like a pretty long waiting list for private clients for dog breath, and I don't ever want people to feel like if they see a model call, like that they could like skip over somebody who's been waiting a long time to get a shoot with me. And also I don't want them to have the misconception that it is a shoot with me, because it's really not. It's really a learning experience, and it's a shoot with three excellent photographers, but that aren't necessarily, and when I say three, it's because there's Sam, myself, and Nicole, and we break down the 9-student group into groups of three. So like at any given time, each one of us instructors has three shooters with us. So yes, I am shooting a little, but it's not about like me. So I always step back and make sure that, you know, like the photographers who are there to like learn and grow get the shots first. So often the dog model parents are getting most of their images that they're getting afterwards for participating are from the, you know, photographer like attendees, and not necessarily for me. Yes, there will be some from me, but it's not going to be whatever. So I never want to create like that miscommunication with, you know, somebody who might be a dog breath client and think they're getting like a shoot with like me, like 3 hours of my like totally dedicated, unwavering attention, because it's not really how it is. So anyway, with that said, I put the model call up on my private page first, just to like my friends and insidery clients and insidery people in my life. And the whole workshop got filled up basically from that, between a post Nicole that did to her people and then my private people, which was amazing. So that meant that a number of people came down from Massachusetts. They drove the 24 hours to have their dogs be a part of Hound Vision. Mm-hmm. So shout out to them. Shout out to Kerry and Jonathan with Siren, the poodle, who's just incredible. And I have a photo of her that I'm going to share for sure in this carousel that we'll share for the podcast here. Maybe, I don't know, should we leak those out over the next couple of days?
We'll leak them on out.
All right, sounds good. So Siren, the poodle, she came down. Also, Siren is at Shutterhound, so they also made the road trip from Massachusetts to Vegas for Shutterhound. So they're my kind of people, adventure people. And then also shout out to Joy and Jim to bringing Taxi and Nim all the way down from Massachusetts, and Sydney for bringing Darwin down from New Hampshire, and Jamila for bringing Shuri, her amazing service poodle, down from DC. That is not even everybody that came from up north, but those are the ones I'm thinking of on the top of my head.
Yep.
And I'm so grateful.
It was pretty wild. It was pretty humbling. And yeah, like you said, like, even though you're coming down, like you're going to get put with kind of whoever makes sense at the time.
It's like a randomly assigned thing,
yeah, well,
right?
It's part random, but it's also part like, oh, these people photographed poodles yesterday.
Oh,
they're
true,
not going to have a poodle today.
Yeah.
So like, for example, my aunt also came and brought her dog, Skippy, to model for us. But she didn't wind up with either you or me. She wound up with Nicole.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That was just how it worked out. For the groups and made the most sense for them. So
yeah.
If you come down to model, you're gonna get great photos, but it's not a way to randomly skip the old dog breath waiting list.
Right. Well, and I just didn't want to create like confusion, but it was good because we filled it all up with our people.
Yeah.
Which was amazing. And then yeah, there's some incredible people that I know down in Florida. We have a good network down here as well. So a lot of basically everybody else was. There's a few people I didn't know, but almost everybody else we knew, whether they're friends or past clients or family.
It was very cool to see so many familiar faces.
Yeah, it was so lovely, wasn't it? So anyway, that was amazing. The dogs were incredible. Mm-hmm. You know, really standout dogs that really blew my mind. There was this little beagle that I photographed with Lynn and Angela and Jess. Lynn from Lance and Lily Photography, and Angela from Big White Dog Photography, and Jess is from, I think, Hoff House Pet Photography, and we had the best little beagle. This was our week 2 group of photographers, and we had the most amazing little beagle named Merlin, and he was 3 years old, but he looked like a puppy, And I don't know, I love beagles, but I don't recall ever photographing one that was so ridiculously talented and well-trained and, like, confident. And he was, I guess, like, one step below, like, a grand champion or something in terms of, like, a show dog. Mm-hmm. So he just was just so well-trained and so, so confident. So that was a real highlight for me, was working with Merlin and those three, well, all the photographers, but I just happened to be with those three when we got, like, the dog from sent from straight from heaven.
Right.
So, you know what I mean?
Sometimes a combination of the dog, the people shooting, and the location all come together to make for like a really super like easy shoot.
It was just such a lovely day.
Yeah, and sometimes it's more challenging, you know, not because of necessarily like any one of those things, but like maybe it's a weird combination of them.
Yeah.
For example, like the dog that I shared on the Instagram already with the neon sign in the background, like that was a hard location for that dog.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
That dog was a very sweet dog. Her name was Bailey.
Wasn't her name Bailey Moon?
I think so.
Yeah.
But she was she wasn't fearful. She wasn't really stressed.
She was excited.
Just overexcited because she's like, oh my God, I'm in downtown St. Pete.
Yeah.
What are all these smells?
Yeah. And activity and energy and people and passing things.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So there's a lot going on. So that's part of like the whole workshop environment is like if we paraded out like a number of like absolute like impeccably trained like models to just do, you know, like to stay forever or to sit like for minutes and minutes at a time, like it's not realistic. It's great for like a quick portfolio builder, mm-hmm, but like mm-hmm. that will only take you so far. If you want to actually build your skills as a dog photographer, like you need to work with all sorts of dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I got that photo of her in front of the neon sign, like I was really, really excited about that because it was not an easy shoot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. I loved that dog.
I love that photo. Oh my goodness. I love that so much. So much that I want to go back to St. Pete, which is 2.5 hours away from where we are now, and bring Josh and June and get a similar photo with them in it because I want to frame that in my house.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. And can we?
Can we? We'll see.
Sam's going to say no, guys, because he's boring. Listen, he doesn't like adventures at all.
We'll see what we have for timing. If we want to drive 5 hours for you to get one photo of our dog.
Heck yeah, I do. Of course we do. What's the question?
I know. So,
except for Joshua's going to behave like a nightmare. We know that.
Yeah.
Because he is exactly like Bailey. He would be excited in that atmosphere.
Very excited.
And he'd have the crazy panting face with the big whale eyes.
Yep.
Yeah. I know him extremely well, and I know, but I still think he could handle it for one photo and lots of beef jerky.
Yeah. So, you know, it was great because we got that photo. I was really super excited to get a photo for Bailey specifically because I knew it was a hard day for her. Bailey's mom was awesome and she was very super helpful. And mm-hmm. I'm just really excited to have something to deliver for her. So I'm hoping that the students kind of feel the same way. They're like, not only do they get great photos for them, but like, they get to give this gift, you know, of the photos that they took to the dog model's parents who drove all that way, sometimes all the way down from Massachusetts or something, you know, to get paid in like basically like question mark number of photos. Like, we'll give you photos. And that's basically what they got.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, these are people that like are after my own heart because I would do the same thing. Like, an adventure with my dog and for like some amazing photography and like what a fun thing to do together, even if it is such a long drive, it's a big adventure. So I love that. And I have to say, this was the workshop of the poodles, you know, because we had a lot of poodles and it was so awesome. Mm-hmm. I feel like poodles, standard poodles, are usually underrepresented photographically. I don't know. I just don't see a ton of them. And we had Shuri, the service poodle with the pink feet, who is so incredible, the most ridiculously bomb-proof dog I've probably ever seen. Then Siren, who is on the same level as Shuri, as just totally bomb-proof. Siren was, I mean, shout out, incredible dog. She also had her hair, Siren had her hair all braided up by a local hair braider that they like met on the beach, who had like a beach, like, what do you want to say? Like a beach, like business, like a little business in a little beach hut or something. Mm-hmm. And she did hair and braiding and they asked if she could do the poodle's hair. And she was like, I've never done a dog before. Like she does little girl's hair usually, you know what I mean? But she did. So she braided in like purple sparkly hair. So that was a ton of fun because Siren had such a cool look. And Siren was just a rock star, so rock solid, it's ridiculous. And then Taxi and Nim, both standard poodles, who also were there for the first week, and they came down from Massachusetts too. So it was the workshop of the poodles.
I know. It's good to bring in a stunt poodle every once in a while.
I know, right? Hey.
Yeah.
Taxi and Nim happened to get the most insane sunset that I've seen in a long time. It was like unreal. I was like panicking. I was like, I could feel my heart flying through my chest at a million miles an hour. Like, oh my God, the sky is pink. Panic. Everybody panic. No, everybody don't panic. But then we do.
So what was great is to be able to see, you know, because you're known for like a really specific style of photography with, you know, using big flashes and that sort of thing. And it was great because these workshops, like, well, like, we might bring out, like, maybe an ice light, like an LED light or
sometimes
something like that.
Sometimes
a small flash, yes, or something.
Yes, like flashes and stuff, yeah.
It's 90% like a natural light, you know, sort of workshop. So it was really cool to see you make photos in that condition where normally you'd immediately bust out your flash.
Well, I think it's like a comfort zone thing for me is like, oh, let me just like grab and add light into the scene to like fix everything that I feel like is not handleable in the natural light. But I thought it was so awesome to like push myself outside that comfort zone and say like, here, what can I create just like with what the earth is giving me? And I got to tell you, like, especially that night that we had Darwin and Taxi and Nim, which was the beach night of the first week, that light was insane. The light was like a storybook. It was unreal. So we got to create cool stuff. So I'll share those too.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
On the Instagram.
Oh, that's a perfect place to share it.
Well, thank you.
So we get dogs.
How about on www.adventuresindogphotography.com?
Yeah, you can go there.
Not a real website.
There's nothing there. It is parked, I believe.
No, is it?
Yeah.
By us?
Yes.
I hope it's by us.
It is by me.
Wow.
Specifically.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, there it is again.
Wow.
Wow. Here, wow. Do a low one, the lowest you can do.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. How loud is my laugh right now? How many people want to murder me for laughing like that?
Well, I'm going to compress the shit out of this track, okay, so
good,
hopefully
good,
it doesn't pierce
good,
anyone's
good
ears. So we were talking about your top five things, and that was one of
them. Oh, God. Shit.
Yeah. Can we be a little bit more succinct on the other
to
four?
To the house.
To the house. Okay.
Well, no. To the photographers and the friends I made.
There you go.
That's more important than the house, but the house was sick.
All right. House number two. Cool. Three. Friends. So
no, two friends, three house.
Great. So two friends. The great thing about having these people there at the workshop was that so many people came up to us, and me specifically, like, and said how much of a good time they had at Shutterhound.
I know. I can't believe almost every single person that was there was at Shutterhound.
Right, which was crazy because I was running around like such a crazy person at Shutterhound. I don't think I had time to really like appreciate any one person for more than about 20 seconds
at
a time.
I know, same. Even my own like mother and right. father. You know yes. what I mean? They were both there, but I didn't even barely get to see them.
Right. So to have people like coming up to me like, you know, like this conference changed everything for me. Like it was so inspiring. Aww. Like it was really, really super cool because, you know, of those like, you know, 250, 300 people or whatever that were there, like it's sometimes hard for me to know that like they're all people, like real people with like real businesses and dreams and that sort of thing.
What do you think they are, ants?
Well, like for a while they're just like their lists on like an Excel spreadsheet,
right,
their
I
names
suppose,
on
yeah.
an Excel spreadsheet, and then they're like faces in a crowd.
Yeah,
and they're people that pull me aside for like 2 seconds
right,
to say like
right.
they have a great time.
Right.
But like to sit down with someone and to be like.
But to clarify,
yeah.
even if there are names on a spreadsheet, they mean so much to us. I don't want people to feel like they're like, I don't know, just a number or something to us because that is so the opposite of how we are.
Right, right.
Which I think is the point you're making is like what is so incredibly special about these workshops is the ability to know somebody and to know their story.
Right.
And to like investigate their personalities and their hearts and their wants and their dreams and their big ideas. Everybody has come equipped with such amazing ideas and we finally get to know it and like learn it. And unless we knew somebody like before Shutterhound, like going into it, it was hard to get to know anybody deeply at Shutterhound because it's just the nature of the beast, isn't it?
Exactly.
The nature of the thing.
So for example, there was a, what would you prefer to be called? A girl or a woman?
A girl.
A girl. Okay.
Well, I don't know. I'm probably alone on that.
Well, if you're in your 30s, I don't know. I don't know where people
girl.
Land on that, but I would just go girl. There's a girl in their first week named
a
Missy.
Young lady.
A young lady.
even worse.
That's worse.
Yeah.
Named Missy, right?
Yes.
And when I you know met her at Hound Vision, you know, I was like, oh, like we met at Cheddar Hound. And she's like, you don't remember that. And I was like, I do and I don't, because I do remember seeing your name a thousand times whenever I was doing any of my business stuff.
Right, right. Well, but she's like, good alliterated name too.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Missy M. So then, yeah, like it was great to like, okay, now we can actually spend some time together.
And how amazing was she?
Oh, she was
Let's just shout out how incredibly special and amazing she was.
Yep. She was a shining, bright, shining star. A
very bright, shining star. And that's the thing. I think, like, everybody in their own way had something so special to say or unique to offer. And they'll have these big ideas of their own, you know, dreams and journeys that they want to go on creatively and everything. And everybody kind of has a different direction with it. And it's, like, so cool and so inspiring. And that's why I said, like, I leave these things and I feel like I cheated because, like, I got to go do that and be a part of it. And then I come away with stuff. I don't know. It just feels... It feels like the luckiest thing in the world, but I'm not just saying that just to be like a sappy sap. I'm saying that for real because I felt so inspired. And then also just the kind words from others of believing in like me and my big weird dreams of what's next for me and saying like, I'm so scared to share this with anybody. I haven't shared anything with anyone on my next ideas because you're so afraid of admitting it to the world and then like failing publicly or something. And so telling all these people, you know, kind of divulging like my big ideas that are vulnerable and having so many amazing people like who believe in me, lift me up and be like, oh my God, you can do that. You can do anything. Like you'd be crazy if you didn't try that or whatever. It's like just really special. It really means a lot to me.
Yeah. So again, we had 2 weeks, we had 9 people each week. So we met 18 really fantastic
really
people.
Special, and everyone.
A lot of people that we, I would say like 50% of the people that I did recognize from before or known from previous workshops, Christy Trick, you know what I mean? Was there, and Kim, yeah.
Kim Wallace, shout out.
Kim Wallace, who helped plan our Cheddar Hound, like kind of welcoming party.
Yeah, what did they call it? Didn't they have a name for that party? I thought they had a funny name.
Oh, I don't know, but they did bring Joshua Heads on popsicle sticks.
Yes, yes, that's amazing.
So
yeah, it was so great to see her. I call her Mama Kim. She takes care of me.
So yeah, we had a really, really special crew. Number three, like you said, the house.
The house was so beautiful.
We already talked a bunch about the house, but what I will say, which is funny, because Nicole is very like...
Oh no.
What do you mean?
Are you going into the chef?
No.
Okay, good, because we don't have time for that one.
No, I wasn't gonna go into
oh, okay.
What I was gonna say is that Nicole's always been very like she's not like a she doesn't have to be fancy, right? So like she's not bougie. That's a good way to put it. So like in previous workshop houses, you know, if there like hasn't been like enough bed, she's like, I'll just like throw some towels on the floor and I'll sleep there.
Yeah.
So like she's like super, super easy.
Not high maintenance at all.
You're slightly more high maintenance.
Oh, I am.
And you usually want like a super nice room. And what we did on this one, which is nice, is we had our own tiny apartment, our little basement apartment.
We had a little basement apartment.
But it was like, it's, you know, there's two small bedrooms and a tiny, tiny kitchen, living room, bathroom area. Like, like it's probably 400 square feet, the
whole
thing.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Plus, you know, it's the three of us and two dogs.
Yeah.
And all of our shit in that. So we lived in a big pile of trash for, you know, 10 plus days.
Nicole was so lovely putting up with us and my hair everywhere.
I know.
My hair all over the floor, everywhere. And I would sweep it, but we didn't have a dustpan, so I just swept it into a ball in the corner.
Yeah, just a red tumbleweed.
And every night I was like, I'm sorry about the ball of hair.
Yeah. So it was.
She was like, I don't care. Thank God for her.
So it was great. So we stayed separate from the main house, and then, you know, it was like it shared a driveway. So we just walked across the driveway and then, you know, got to enjoy this big, beautiful house and you know, we did a couple of classes outside on the beach and the tiki bar.
That was the best part. The tiki hut classes.
Yep.
Yep. The tiki hut, like right on the beach, sitting in, you know, around this like tiki bar with just the wind, you know what I mean? The warm breeze blowing through, and there's a TV out there so we can do, you know, our presentations out there and talk pricing and talk about marketing and business and, you know, all the things that we talk about that I love so much to talk about running a dog photography business, but getting to do it in the sun with the sun on our backs with, you know what I mean? Josh and June at our feet, like the pool, you could hear the little waterfall from the jacuzzi into the pool, like right next to you. It was just really special.
Mm-hmm.
It was special. While the house was most definitely a rental in that, like there were things that were annoying that didn't work that you're like, okay, this has obviously been like used and abused by like millionaire tenants for years. Other than like little things here and there, we're not that fancy. Everything was just really, really nice there. Yeah. And if there ever was a problem, my God, did they send people out fast? We would call up like the house, you know, people and be like, oh, like we need this TV replaced by the Tiki Hut because the HDMI ports were completely corroded because the HDMI ports faced the ocean. So it was just getting nothing but like salty breeze and water all the time on it. Yeah, so
apparently if you have an oceanside house, there's a lot of maintenance that goes into that.
Absolutely. Tons of maintenance. So,
but also if you have a $10 million house, you probably aren't worried about the maintenance of the HDMI ports.
So they came out with a new TV like right away as soon as we called them, which is pretty, you know, extra to be like, hey, we want a new TV at the Tiki House. Because the TV worked fine if you wanted to watch it like a TV. It was hooking up our presentations and our HDMI ports to the keynote or whatever that wasn't working. So that's a little extra outside of what they maybe, you know, thought they might have to provide for, but they did. So it was great. And our AC in our little basement apartment went out one night. And by the time we called about it, within, I don't know, an hour, three different AC men were there.
Hi, I'm here for the AC. I'm also here for the AC. Yeah. And me, I'm here.
Truly.
For the AC.
Anyway, so yeah, the house was amazing.
The house was great.
The dinner.
Okay, please. Bistro. Yes, all right. Please let me take the beginning of this one because you'll go off for 15 minutes.
Yeah, no, and I don't even want to.
Okay.
I mean, you can. You can be quick about it, but it's such a long story.
I'm not. That's why I'm going to tell
it. Okay, go.
So basically, we always have a private like in-home chef for these sorts of things so that we can come home from a long shoot and there's food and we eat and we hang out. It's great. There was an issue with the chef and we had to let her go from her services after just the first night.
Anybody who was at Hound Vision is laughing right now.
Yeah, so...
Because there was too much cilantro.
Right. So like I said, we're not going to get into it, but Nicole, in her wisdom, you know, was like, no worries. I'll just pivot and I'll make us reservations at like, you know, a restaurant for the other nights. No big deal. And so little did we know that she chose the most incredible restaurant for the second night of, you know, of our first week of workshops, which we went to the second week as well. So we got to eat there twice. But we ate at this place on Anna Maria Island that was one of the best dinners I've ever had.
Me too.
And Everyone in the workshop was absolutely floored by, you know, this incredible 4-course meal that came out.
I think it was 5 courses, and also the server was a boss.
Yeah.
What an awesome guy. Also handsome.
Yeah.
You agree?
Yeah.
Oscar, very handsome.
Yes, but not like the Grouch.
No. Right. Very handsome, very nice, and he liked dogs.
So this place, for people that might be out in that area, if you're looking for an incredible dining experience, this is called the Beach Bistro?
In Holmes Beach, Florida.
It's got the worst name ever. It might as well be called, like, the Restaurant on the Water
The place. Bland Shack. The Blandy Boys.
It's got, like, a no...
The Blandy Boys Club.
Blandy Boys Club. It's got no name. The Beach Bistro.
Terrible.
It's the most forgettable name.
No.
I agree. But it was outrageous. So, I feel like when my parents come down here, I want them to make a trip out there.
Yeah.
I feel like you should take your mom and her boyfriend, William, there at some point.
My mom doesn't eat anything. That's the problem.
That is a problem. She's like,
I'll
just have this gum I found in my purse.
The other night, what did she have? She's like... Oh, I'll have a mayonnaise sandwich.
Oh yeah, I had to inform her that her mayonnaise and cheese sandwich is called the poor boy.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. She was like, "I'm mayonnaise and cheese." That's like literally what she eat in a whole day. But anyways, so I digress.
If you like to eat food, you should go to there.
So go to there. So should we get into talking about the photo?
Oh, the photo.
The photo
of Junie.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this will be the fifth thing.
Well, the fifth thing is the photo of Junie.
So
really, truly, the fifth thing will be the locations we shot at, probably.
Okay.
So we shot in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. Mm-hmm. Awesome, epic, super cool city scene. I love city shooting so much. There's so much to look for. There's so many cool elements. There was an awesome spot. Shout out to Sarah Wood, my amazing, beautiful friend Sarah Wood, who's a photographer in what's the S town she lives in?
She's by Tampa, right?
Seminole. Florida. Yep, and she showed me this awesome spot out on the pier at the end of the docks in St. Pete, which had the most amazing view of the city. So
that's how you found that.
Yeah, Sarah showed us.
No.
Yeah, she snuck us out. So anyway, shout out to her for showing us that. But St. Pete downtown was awesome. There was cool architectural elements everywhere. We found little sparkly lights in the trees that would go on at twilight, and we got like lots of bistro lights everywhere. Amazing. Number two. Oh, do you have something to say?
Yeah, may I?
I suppose.
All right. Yeah. So I struggled with that first location because, like, for me, as soon as it got dark, I was like, oh, I can shoot anywhere. But we started this workshop, you know, like 90 minutes or so before sunset, and it's not necessarily like my style. So
what is your style?
I definitely like to shoot when it's a bit darker, if I'm doing like portraits or that sort of thing. Like I like a city at night.
Okay.
Right?
Okay. But the light was absolutely beautiful before then.
It was, but there were like too many options.
Oh man.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know. I was so blown away and like overly stimulated and excited.
Yep,
like, so, I was like, this, I can shoot this. Oh my God, look at this chair. Whoa, have you seen this? Have you seen this stone? Look at this canoe. Have you seen a yellow bench, like this yellow bench before? Look
what
at
is this voice you're That's, doing?
It's like so, an announcer. It's like a 20s announcer, I think. And it's like yellow flowers and pink flowers and purples.
Yeah.
And look at the purples. Look at the purples. I think I'm trying to do the voice from the guy in, hold on.
I think you're just having a stroke.
You know the guy in Spaceship Earth in Epcot, when you go on Spaceship Earth, the big silver ball.
Yeah.
And you go in
Dame Judi Dench?
Not Dame Judi Dench. She's the narrator of the ride. But when you get through about halfway, you're in front of a, like, theater that's, like, viewing the Olympics. And I think it's, like...
Oh, yeah.
And they're all like,
yeah, he says, hey, buddy, there's Jesse Owens competing in the 1936 Olympics.
That's exactly what I was doing. Didn't it come across?
It's... Seamless.
Thank you.
So, St. Petersburg, it was the first shoot location. The second one.
Second one was a place, it's kind of a little like nondescript place down in Bradenton area, Bradenton, Florida. And it's a little beach location, kind of like a mangroves type of beach location. The thing about Florida that's hard, I don't want to go too much on off topic because, you know, I'm so good at staying on track. So responsible that I'm not going to go off topic here too much. But in Florida, it is hard to find a beach where dogs are allowed. True. It is the beachiest state of all states. And it's really, really hard to put dogs anywhere on a beach in Florida. So we found this little preserve place with like mangroves and stuff with little small swaths of beaches. And we went there for the second night shooting so we could like actually get dogs in the water splashing and playing and do. So we did that. And that was magical, and I loved it, and that was probably my favorite location because, well, I don't know, because the first time we were there, the light was so insane, and because it was so cloudy that day, and it was just, everything looked like heaven. It was amazing. I don't know, it was a toss-up between that and downtown St. Pete, because I loved that too. And then, last location, tell me about it.
Yep, so that second location...
Oh, I was going fast. I was keeping it on the rails.
You're going fast and keeping me out of the conversation.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
On porpoise.
Yes, great.
Speaking of porpoise, we saw one from the house.
You saw a porpoise or a dolphin?
What's the difference?
They're two different animals. All right,
a dolphin.
Animals?
We saw a dolphin. I just thought I would make a bridge from one word to the other word,
this
and you screwed it up.
Worst podcast ever.
No, we've had worse. I can confidently say we've had worse.
So yeah, the second location was amazing, and I think that's the one that also I feel like most of the students had the easiest time making photos with. Especially that first week when you had just a super, super even light. But then the second week when we had really, really hard dynamic light, that was also like, it was challenging and rewarding, I think, when people got the shots.
Well, and also that I turned out to have some of my most favorite photos from the whole workshop from the second time we were there with the harder light. So it's interesting how that works out. We just found different spots. Basically, we couldn't be out in the open the second time because the light was just too hard right until, you know, the sun dropped to the horizon. But then I found really awesome spots in the mangroves I wouldn't have found otherwise because I wouldn't have been pushed in there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? The first time the light was so good out in the water, I didn't even have to explore the mangroves. So it was cool. It really opened my mind up a lot and got me to step outside my comfort zone. Sam, you look at me like I'm in trouble.
Right. Necessity is the mother of invention, right?
Oh, okay. Am I not in trouble?
You're not in trouble.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Okay, so next. Talk about the next spot.
All right. So then our third and final spot, we went to Myakka State Park or Myakka Riverfront State Park. What's it called?
I don't know. Myakka?
Yeah.
It's amazing, though. And guess who's there with us? Alligators. So many alligators at Myakka.
Yeah, but so luckily,
to be fair, we stayed very far away from any alligators.
Luckily, we shot many miles away from where the alligators are known to congregate, and we did not go near any water because, of course, that's one of those natural. That's just a natural part of Florida. You just have to be aware, very aware of it when you're a pet photographer in Florida.
Right. So for those that have never been to Mayaca before, you're talking Florida foresty,
like the wilds of Florida.
The wilds of Florida.
And which is beautiful, big, huge, like old palm fronds everywhere and fallen logs and really rustic, amazing, but lush green forest. Even in January, lush green forest with like Spanish moss hanging down everywhere. Just really beautiful old Florida. I think of those paintings. There's a famous painter. Of course, I'm going to forget his name and look like a dink right now, but he is really famous for old Florida scenes. And I will Google
Michelangelo.
It. Michelangelo. Yes. The famous, the known, the one and only Michelangelo.
Yeah, Donatello.
Known for Florida paintings.
Raphael.
You know, the kind that go in a seashell and hang on your grandmother's wall.
Casey Jones.
Yes, Casey Jones.
Yep, another Ninja Turtles character.
Okay. Yep, you're right. Isn't that the guy, The guy, the one human? The one that's a human.
The one, yes.
Yes.
The one with the hockey mask.
Casey Kasem. That's what I thought you were going to say. Casey Kasem here with the radio. The best radio hits of the 40s, 50s, and today.
I believe he was a little bit newer.
Okay.
And didn't sound like the neighbor from Pet Sematary.
Oh, yes. okay, so. Those are our three locations. We'll share some photos from Hound Vision. It was epic. It was amazing. This is not meant to be an ad for Hound Vision, but I will say it's probably like the coolest thing in the whole world to go to a Hound Vision. It's so fun. I am not selling it to you. They usually sell out before we even open them, so it's not really
the thing
a
is
big...
we have nothing to sell right now.
Right, exactly. You know what I mean? There's not another one on the books at the moment, but there will be. We have some ideas. I was doing some research today for our next idea for Hound Vision, and ooh, I'm really excited about it. Mm-hmm. But anyway, there's a place you can sign. I forget. I'm not good at this stuff at all. There's a place you can sign up to be on like the waiting list to know first about them. Something to do with Nicole stuff. If I figure out where it is, I will post a link somewhere.
Suppose you could also Google Hound Vision, all one word.
Yeah, well, Hound Vision, dog photography workshop, something like that. Yes, yes. But yeah, the next ones will be pretty epic as well. Probably, though, not in 2024. We're going to Iceland for Barkiavik, and that's our next like big thing, and that's in June 2024. So yeah. I think 2025 will be the next Hound Vision. Well, I mean, I don't know. Listen, I'm open, but Sam and I have big ideas and big plans for 2024, so we'll get there. We'll get there.
We got lots of historical boat movies to see.
Yes, that's what we're doing this year, checking off all the historical boat movies. Isn't there a movie called Waterworld?
With Kevin Costner?
Is that about a boat?
Yeah, it's about a boat.
What about the boat?
It's about a boat that talks and solves crimes.
Wait, for real?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
I'm deadly serious.
Well, you want to watch it tonight?
Yeah, it's about Waterworld, the crime-solving boat.
Come on! Are you making it up? I don't know!
Yes, I'm making that up.
Oh, it sounds like it could be cool if it talked.
Night Boat, the crime-solving boat.
Isn't there a boat horror movie, a couple boat horror movies? Triangle, like the Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah, there's the one with the haunted cruise ship.
Yeah, Ghost Ship.
Ghost Ship.
Is that good?
No.
Should we watch that tonight?
No.
Okay.
What a waste of time.
Okay.
This is a waste of everyone's time.
Okay, it is. It truly is. Okay, so anyway, let's share some fun photos from Hound Vision. That's so rad. It'll be so awesome to see you at the next one. You know, whenever that will be, we will keep you posted. But these are really special. And these are our United States of America domestic versions of... Kind of domestic versions, well, I don't want to say of the Barkas. They're a little bit different. These are 3 days long. The Barkas are 5 days long. But they're an awesome way to kind of like just get your foot into the world if you're wanting to do a workshop, but you don't want to, you know, fly internationally or anything like that. So this is our series of domestic dog photography workshops. Actually, the only series of domestic United States-based dog photography workshops, as far as I know.
Yeah.
There may be a few, like, brand newbies, maybe, I don't know, doing something now, but there wasn't when Nicole and I started, so that's all I know.
Yep, and we all wear stars and stripes. It's very, very United States-based. There's fireworks show.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Everybody gets red, white, and blue roses upon check-in.
Yeah, yeah.
Imagine, and you get confetti that you can throw in the face of your roommate.
Mm-hmm.
Or you might not have a roommate and if you upgrade to a private room.
We apologize to all the Canadians that came.
Shout out Canada. Okay, so their heads come apart when they talk.
I know how Canadians work.
We just watched South Park while we ate dinner as well, so... Ike. Anyways, so shout out to all the amazing photographers that came out to Hound Vision. Seriously, you guys really, it was such a special group, and at both weeks with such special groups of people, and I knew a lot of people going into it. I met a lot of new people as well, so it was really something special, and I feel so connected and so inspired right now, and I'm just so grateful to everybody for that, and for coming out and believing in us, and like putting like, I don't know, value on what we have to say. It just means a lot to me. And like I said, I always take something away and learn something from other people as well. And it's such a beautiful experience and a beautiful thing.
It really was. So now without further ado, the moment you've all been waiting for, hanging on after Kaylee's incredible run-on sentence. You want to tell them about the actual photo of Junie that's on the Instagram right now?
Yes! So this is the photo we're going to talk about for this episode. Coming at you in the last 10 minutes or 15 minutes of the podcast. Sam's pushing me physically away from the mic, telling me to shut up and not lean forward so heavily.
I don't know how many times I have to tell you in one episode.
You can't control a girl's passion. You can't rein me in. You can't rein me in, Sam. Okay, before we get to the Junie photo, I know. But we have to say what happened to my lens. So... okay, this was... All right, we won't take too long to tell you this. But this photo of Junie is shot on a brand new Canon RF 10 to 20 millimeter lens.
Wow.
Why, Sam?
Why? Well, the real reason why is because your lens adapter broke, but... I thought that your lens had broken.
Right. Okay. So in between the two workshops, we always have one day off in between to, you know, get the house cleaned and ready for the next set of people and give us like one day to, you know, kind of sit in the jacuzzi and think and get, you know, get prepared. And we were doing photos of Josh and June with Nicole on that middle day because the sky was like amazing. And we're like, oh my God, get out the cameras. So I was shooting on my 1DX for whatever reason with my famous favorite 11 to 24 millimeter lens. And it was like going well, totally fine. I was probably shooting for like 20 minutes. Everything was normal. And then I go to like stop down the lens because I think I was shooting it like F4 or something. And then I was like, no, I wanted like dark in my sky. So then I tried to put it up to like F10 or 11 or something. And it just was... I looked at the exposure after I made the adjustment and it was bright. It was like still super bright. And I'm like, I don't understand. Nothing changed. So then I like, you know, kept changing, like just trying to like mess around with the buttons and change. And then I put it up to F22 and I was like, well, surely it's going to come out basically black if this is actually at F22. So I tested it, shot it at F22 and it was still bright. And it like the exposure hadn't changed at all from when it was at F4. So I was like, oh no. Something's wrong. So I shut the camera off. I took the lens off, put it back on. It still was like weirdly acting up. But this was on my 1DX though. And then we're like, okay, well, that's weird. Maybe something's wrong with the 1DX because to be fair, the camera's really pretty old at this point. It's been through a lot. So we're like, okay, let's put it on the R3, which is brand new. We'll put it on the R3. Everything should be fine. We go and put it on the R3. And then we get not only like... does the lens like malfunction or whatever, but then we start to get an error message on the R3 that's like ERR dash whatever the number is for this particular error code. And then it's like lens cannot communicate with the whatever. Lens cannot communicate with the body or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's literally like error code number one.
Oh, like the most basic
error
code.
It's the
most
common and basic error code.
And it was weird because if we would put the lens at F4, it would totally work fine. It was like working normally and it wasn't having the error message. But the second we tried to change the aperture of the lens to anything other than F4, it was like, meh, error, can't shoot, can't do anything.
Right. And so I'm good at troubleshooting stuff.
Yeah, you are.
Right. And so... we tried on the 1DX, got an error. Tried it on the R3, got an error. So I was like, oh, it's not randomly both of our cameras. It's the lens. That's the only thing that makes sense.
Yeah.
You following my logic on that one?
No, definitely. Yeah, but here's what's weird, though, is the 1DX doesn't require... it's an old... the EF 11 to 24 millimeter lens is an older lens. It's not a mirrorless lens. So, and we were using it on the 1DX, which is not a mirrorless camera. So, and it didn't work there, which was weird. And then we moved it over to the R3, and then it didn't work there either. So we didn't necessarily think it had anything to do with the fact that it wasn't a mirrorless lens. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Not really.
Okay, say it in your smart man way.
It,
give me the old mansplain.
We had no reason to think that it had anything to do with the adapter that brings it from the EF to the RF mount.
Right.
Because it also did not work on the EF mounted camera.
Yes. Yeah, so basically, and we tried all the other lenses and they were fine, right?
No.
Well, you didn't try them. That's what happened.
So that's the one thing. I didn't feel like I had to do that because I was like, oh, it's pretty cut and dry. There's a problem with the lens.
With the lens, yes. So you're like, okay, the solution is we buy a brand new lens. We need to get the RF 10 to 20.
Right.
Because that's like the replacement for this lens. And now that you're on a mirrorless body anyway, and you don't have a single mirrorless lens, maybe the universe is telling you it's time to spend freaking $2,400 on a new one.
Right. And that was the solution because like we needed it for, you know, our workshops. And then also we've got a shoot coming up and we needed it soon. So I figured we'd send the old one out to get repaired. And while we get that repaired, like we'll get a new lens. And yes, it'll be great because if you're going to spend any money on any one lens, it should be a wide angle because that's what you shoot 99% of your work.
Yeah.
With.
Yeah. And the thing was this particular lens, this 10 to 20 is like really hard to get right now. And it's back ordered basically everywhere. And so, but then you ended up calling a local camera shop local to Anna Maria Island.
It's in Bradenton.
In Bradenton, Florida. And they so happened to have one.
They had one.
You were like, I'm getting it. I'm just going to go out right now. It's 30 minutes each way. I'm going to get it. And I was like, no, because we live in the state of New Hampshire and the state of New Hampshire does not have sales tax. Right? And so I was like, if we order it to New Hampshire, we'll save $200 or whatever. And you're like, it doesn't matter about the $200. You need this lens to finish out your workshops and to do our clients that we have coming up. And I'm like, no, you're right. Screw it. Go buy the lens. So you buy the lens. You come back. We celebrate.
So buy the lens. We come back. Celebrate. And then I'm going to get ready for that day's shooting. And I go to put the 35 on the 1DX. And it also has an error.
The same error comes up now.
And then I put the 35 on the R3 and it has an error. And I'm like, what? So instead of it being the lens, there was a problem with both cameras. And the problem with the R3 was that the adapter shit itself. Literally
it was the $120 little piece that adapts the old lenses to fit the mirrorless cameras.
Right.
That's what it was the whole time.
And it just so happened that Nicole had an extra one that we could use. So the day was saved there. Now for the 1DX, I'm like, why is this one having a problem?
Yeah, why is it actually?
And this was like a pretty basic solution, but I just didn't think of it because I was like, there's no way both cameras have a problem at the same time. That's how it worked out. So the 1DX just had just really super dirty connectors on it because we've been shooting so much in the sand and the dirt and everything. So I literally just cleaned the little gold connectors on the inside of the 1DX and on the lens, and then it just started working again.
What? That's so wild. So anyway, so I get the 10 to 20 and I'm so excited. And then you're like, oh, actually, we didn't need it. And I'm like, oh, man, we just spent $2,500 or whatever plus tax on a lens that we didn't necessarily need. Now I don't know what to do with it, but I want it so bad, but I don't know if I should open it. And then in the end, guess what? I opened it. And it is amazing. And the first photo that I took with this baby boy lens that I didn't mean to have, but now I have, is this photo of Junie.
Beautiful.
Ta-da!
Anything you want to add about this photo of Junie?
Yeah. So this was my first ever try at the 10 to 20. Ironically enough, though, I shot it at 17 millimeters, not 10.
All right. So you're feeling like 10 millimeters is just too crazy then?
Well, it's wild because I wanted the first time I ever used the lens to create a photo at 10 with it, just because like the novelty of being able to go that wide on such a high quality lens. It was a weird challenge photographing Junie on this chair because the shape of the chair, this Adirondack chair, was pretty like weird to fit in the frame. And it was, you know, obviously getting really distorted when I would go at 10. It would like make the chair fill up the whole frame in this really awkward way. And then Junie was like too small. You know what I mean? She wasn't as significant unless I moved in really close.
Because she's leaning back in the chair. Right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then, so it just, I don't know. I was doing all these little math problems in my head, and I ended up having to zoom in to make it look a little bit more kind of like I pictured it, and I wanted her to be big and impactful. So yeah, I ended up at 17. Who knew? I could have shot that with my 16 to 35 from 150 years ago, I guess.
You know, as this just added to the pile of wide angle lenses that we have.
Yeah, actually, truly, we have a pile, a veritable pile now. of wide angle magic. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so I shot it at 17 millimeters and then ISO 100 naturally because it was, I don't know, 2 o'clock in the afternoon in Florida.
Super bright.
Tons of light. So I was at F20 and then 1/200th of a second. So that's pretty predictable for me. I put the sunglasses on June, and that was a bit of a challenge because she's such a tiny head. So if I put them on Joshua, they stay on. These are just my sunglasses, just like my normal everyday sunglasses. And
he's got a big fat head.
He's got a big fat head, so they stay on pretty well. But Junie's little dink head does not hold them very well. So we had to end up creating, like, we taped the ends of the sunglasses and then made like a little rope that went around the back of her head and then taped the other end of it so they stayed on. And then she had her like little head perked up and everything, but she ended up getting just kind of like tired, you know, tired of the whole thing.
Did Junie get tired?
Yeah. And then she just laid her head down like kind of in this tragic way of like, okay, Mom, that's enough. Give me the treats. And I was able to snag this because I loved it when she put her head down. It was like she was, you know what I mean, chilling and relaxing in the sun. So that was pretty cool. And then the angle of it all worked out really well because I got this like awesome sun flare, like sunburst thing coming over the left side of the chair above her head. So if I went like any lower than I did, that sunburst would have been hidden behind the physical chair itself. But because I was able to kind of like change up the angle a little bit and mess with the focal length, I ended up getting that like sunburst right in the top left corner where I wanted it. This photo is not ideal as a crop to a square, which is usually what you need to crop it for Instagram, right? I'm not sure if you do for the adventures in a dog photography Instagram.
Well, I mean, all right, if we're going to get technical, Instagram much prefers like a vertical 8x10
I know.
Type photo.
No, I know that, but this doesn't really
crop
work
to that
for that.
Either, yeah.
It doesn't really work for square either, honestly. It's really weird. There's a lot of like geometry going on that's really bad.
Yeah.
So it doesn't crop to square that well either, but I did crop it to square from my Instagram today, so I'll just let you do what you got to do with it, I guess.
Yeah, I'm just going to share the original crop because I'm not putting this together to just build a social media following.
Well, I suppose that's true, yeah. Yeah. So anyway, so that's kind of how that came to fruition. We did also some shots of Josh and Junie together in the same chair.
Oh, yeah.
Which was so cute. And so let's share one of those, too, because I have one finished that I love.
Oh, awesome.
Normally, I like skies that have, like, some cloud texture in them. And this was one of those days that was just, like, I call it a bluebird sky, bluebird day or whatever, where there's not a singular cloud anywhere in your visible sky. So it was just blue, pure blue. But I think it works. Like, the palette here works pretty well because you've got, like, that bright pink, the pink chair, the pink sunglasses, and then the, like, tropical blue sky. So it's pretty, like, striking. It was really just a quick thing, but we wanted to commemorate the dogs, like, being beachside. You know, being on the beach in this tropical island where they've really never been in a place like that before. So it was something to sort of commemorate the silliness and the fun of these two being beachside for a week, couple weeks.
Yeah, and this image has a built-in watermark.
There's a secret surprise in there. Do you know what it is?
I know what it is. That's why I said it.
You're in there.
Yeah.
I'm in there.
Yeah.
In the reflection of the sunglasses, Kaylee Greer.
Yeah.
Your old pal Kaylee Greer's in there.
And so what are your thoughts on keeping that reflection in versus like photoshopping in like a gradient?
Well, actually, okay, so the gradient photoshop in the sunglasses never looks real. It looks like trash. I did try to see if generative fill could come up with a good like reflection replacement, but it didn't. It didn't, and I don't really like to use that anyway. I don't feel like it's like really my work at that point, but I just wanted to give it a go and see if it like could handle like reflective gradients, but definitely cannot handle that yet. Maybe ever.
No, the human race is safe for another day.
Yeah, woo! But what I did do, though, full disclosure, is that when we photographed her with the light, we used the light on this, the same light I always use, the Profoto B1, with a beauty dish, it like blew out the pink of the sunglasses entirely. It just turned to like a bright white circle basically in the sunglasses, which was like really off-putting and very distracting from the rest of the photo. So what I did was after I nailed the shot with her head in the position I wanted it in, I then shut off the transmitter on top of the camera. So basically effectively shutting off the studio strobe and shot the same exact picture, but just with like the natural reflection in the glasses, which I'm still in, but it doesn't have this huge giant like beauty dish mark, which takes your eye totally off of Junie. It was really,
smart.
Well, you helped me. You told me to do it. Don't you remember? You were like, and now take a picture without the strobe because it's so bright, it's going to blast her eyes out. And you were right, because I didn't think I'd necessarily have to use it, but I did end up using it because the shot without the beauty dish mark in it was so much less distracting. So I just basically took the two photos, laid them over each other, and then painted in the reflection without the big bright beauty dish in it. So it's just me and you. If you look in the if you look in the frame really hard, you can see me shooting it and then Sam in the background standing directly behind me. No. Probably holding some chicken or beef jerky or something.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah.
So yeah, if we get a house down in Florida, we get this as a big print for the wall.
Yeah. Actually that's a great idea. It would be such a good beach house photo.
Exactly.
Print artwork thing.
So, Kaylee, last week I had to sing us out.
Oh no.
And
last week, mean like 4 weeks ago. By the way, we just genuinely, from the bottom of our hearts, really want to apologize to all of our dedicated, lovely listeners. We had a lot of people ask us, hey, where are you? What's going on with the podcast? So sorry about that. I probably, not to throw Sam under the bus, but I probably asked Sam to put up a post letting you all know that we were traveling and at the wedding and at the workshop, I don't know, 175 times before he actually did it. The Houndvision attendees can attest that I asked you many times. And thank you for finally doing that. Everybody who was kind of like hanging in there to figure out if we had like, you know, had, I don't know, fallen off the face of the earth. Thanks for hanging in there and waiting for us. So sorry about the big disappearing act of 2024. We had so much going on with the traveling and everything, but in the future, it's important to me that we'll be a little bit more on top of communicating with you if we are going to be like disappearing for a week or two. So with that, hopefully everything will be up to snuff and be normal on schedule for next week. But if anything comes up, we will promise to communicate. Sam, take the Boy Scouts oath. I promise.
I, Sam Haddix.
As handsome and good-looking as I am today. And as handsome and as good-looking as I will be tomorrow. But can't be sure about 15 years from now.
But can definitely be sure about 15 years from now.
We'll communicate with the Adventures in Dog Photography audience.
Yep.
About all future endeavors.
Mm-hmm.
Breaks in broadcasting.
Mm-hmm.
And shenanigans and adventures that keep us busy and away.
Nice.
I don't believe you. Seeing as you didn't repeat anything I said. Okay, and with that said, thank you guys seriously for being so lovely and so patient with us. Sometimes life happens, and I'm so, so grateful to say that we are in a place in, you know, life, in our career, where we are super busy and we have a very busy dog breath photography business to also kind of attend to in addition to this. So we really appreciate you sticking with us and knowing that like sometimes things get a little wobbly. So thank you. And we appreciate you. And I said that and I'll say it again. But I will say I apologize. And I know that's probably enough apologizing.
Probably enough.
Because Sam's giving me a face. So that's all you get on the apology front. But this is also me buying time for a song.
Uh-huh.
What do you want me to say? Oh, what do you want me to say? Oh, yeah, we took Patches for a walk today. And when I say we, I mean you. Because I went to the Starbucks and I got a clue. And I drank a drink and I spent $7 on a drink at Starbucks today.
You know, when we do more episodes, I think, you know, that will probably smooth itself out.
What I should do is probably write them in advance so I don't have to just recap my day in a shitty song.
Well.
And that's.
See ya.
And that's the news. And that's the news today. We'll see you later.
Adventures in Dog Photography with Kaylee Greer and Sam Haddix is a Dog Breath production. Follow us on Instagram at Adventures in Dog Photography and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.